The Scarab Gaming Convention hosts a variety of events and games, ranging from board games to role-playing games, and even some LARPs. For a full listing of these events, you can check us out on warhorn.net/events/scarab. All of these games should prove to be a lot of fun, but don't take my word on it. Let's hear from some of the GMs and event coordinators themselves.
Who are you, and what are you planning on running at Scarab?
I am Darren Miller. I live in Myrtle Beach, and I've been running at Scarab for the past 3 years. I always run a ton of stuff. This year will be no exception. On Friday, I'll be kind of doing a Fiasco Friday. So at 2 and 8, I'll be running Fiasco or facilitating. It's a GM-less game. It's a lot of fun. It's like putting together your own Coen Brothers movie in 2 to 3 hours. Characters are generated on the spot. It's all part of the game mechanic. And we pick a play set that appeals to everyone at the table. So if you do multiple games, you'll get a different play set every time. On Saturday morning at 8, I'll be doing Fiasco High, which is like a teen version, kind of like the John Hughes movies from the 80s. So that's a lot of fun too. And then the rest of Saturday will be Savage World stuff. On Saturday at 2, I'm going to run a Deadlands Noir scenario. It's going to be an original Deadlands Noir scenario. I'm calling it the Butcher's Bundle. It'll be the first time I've done this one. It's a case of some missing money and a search for that money, and some unexpected things happen while you're searching for that money that kind of lead to maybe an unlikely criminal. If you haven't played Deadlands Noir, it is set in, the default setting is New Orleans of the 30s, but this one's actually going to be using the Deadlands Noir companion, so it's going to be set in Los Angeles in the 40s, which I think is kind of neat. If you haven't played the companion material, LA provides a ton of material and some neat different settings and things that aren't from the original, the core book, expands it from the New Orleans in the 30s and gives you a couple of different opportunities to play some other things. And then for Savage Saturday Night, I'm doing a kind of a cross between a Scooby-Doo episode and a Call of Cthulhu adventure for Savage World. So that'll be kind of neat too, using the Savage World rules and the Realms of Cthulhu rules and some special Scooby-Doo rules mixed in. Then on Sunday, 2 p.m., doing a Pirates of the Spanish Main, a little adventure, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Sunday at 8, I'm going to do the Silver Griffin Games Wellstone City Public Transit Assassins. Wellstone City is a really dark, very urban, modern, neo-noir setting, and should be cool. Hopefully, I think Silver Griffin is going to provide some support for that as well. So you could get some swag to go along with that too. Public Transit Assassin. It's a very like modern gangster film kind of thing. Almost kind of like Fiasco or Streets of Bedlam, which I ran last year. And then on Monday and in the morning at 8, I'll be doing one more chance for people to play Fiasco. So if you didn't get a chance the rest of the weekend, or you loved it when you played it on Friday or Saturday morning, it's one more slot to play it. Fiasco is an excellent game. Like I said, it can be put together very quickly. It takes very little prep work. Anybody can run it and play it. And the characters have high, lofty goals and very poor impulse control. They make lots of mistakes, and it usually ends in a very violent and bloody way, except for when you do the lighter, like the teen setting that I'll be doing on Saturday morning.
So why don't you tell me who you are and what you're planning on bringing to Scarab?
Well, I'm Paul Hubbard. And myself and Andy Burris are bringing the Cheese Wedge to Scarab this year. We've been doing the Cheese Wedge for a little more than a year and a half now, mostly at Firefly Toys and Games in Lexington. And it's basically a younger, cuter version of the Cheese Grinder, the biggest and scariest tournament at Dragon Con. What we have is people come in, and they can play a pre-gen Pathfinder character, or they can make their own using our little rule set, and then just make the cheesiest character they can, and we're going to grind them. It's a random dungeon with a round-robin sort of setup so that you come in and you live as long as you can, which may be one round, or it may be an hour or so. You might live longer than that, but rarely does anyone. And then when you die, I ding the bell and you leave and someone else takes your seat. You just get back in the queue. It's $1 a life, and that's probably overvaluing your life. But yeah, that's what we do. So we're going to do it at Scarab from early in the morning on Saturday until late at night Saturday. With people qualifying for the finals, which we're going to hold on the afternoon of Sunday. And it's going to be a pretty big event. Usually we have a really great turnout at Firefly, so I expect to have at least as big of a turnout as Scarab.
Okay. And if there are there some guidelines that people can
Yes, indeed. It's pretty simple, but without going too much into the details, you can find them at the website, which is www.regretgames.com/cheese-grinder. Or you can go on the Scarab's website, and I'm sure that they have my link up there.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Paul.
No problem.
We look forward to grinding some cheese.
Oh, as it were. Yes.
I'm Randy Miller. I'm running Pathfinder. Yay.
I'm Jason Wright. I am going to be running Dockside Dogs. It's a Call of Cthulhu scenario based on a certain Quentin Tarantino movie. So there is going to be a lot of paranoia, madness, insanity, and probably some harsh language at the table. I've tested the scenario with some friends. It's gone very well. It's the tale of a group of well-dressed criminals immediately after a heist when some very strange things start to happen. I'm looking forward to, you know, getting a full table and seeing how it all unfolds.
So, I'm Del Collins. I'm the venture captain for South Carolina, the Pathfinder Society venture captain for South Carolina. And this year for Scarab 2014, we've got over 180 tables of Pathfinder Society. If you take a look at our Warhorn site, which you can get to off of our homepage, off the scarab.com homepage, you'll find on that Warhorn site all of the games listed in the schedule. If you look in the schedule and don't find a game listed that you really, really are jonesing to play, just drop us a line through our contact page on the website, and we will find a game master to run that game for you. Now, that doesn't guarantee that we'll be able to find other players that want to play with you, but we will find a game master who's willing to run the game that you want to play. In addition to the 180 sessions we've got on the schedule, which encompasses almost the entire library of scenarios that are in existence currently. There's a few that aren't on there, but not many. In addition to those, because we've got over 50 tables of Pathfinder Society at our event, it allows us to run several special events. So this year we are very excited to be running both level 1 and level 2 of Bone Keep. I have it on good authority that level 3 of Bone Keep should be out and available by the time Scarab rolls around, but you never know. It might not make it out until the week after. But if level 3 does come out in time, we will also put in level 3 on the schedule. So it would be very cool to have all of those on the schedule. Bone Keep is significantly deadly as far as scenarios go. You're going to want to bring your A game if you're going to play in Bone Keep. Bone Keep level 1 is a very difficult scenario. Level 2 is even more difficult than level 1. My table for Bone Keep level 2 TPK'd at Gen Con in the second room. So, to give you an idea on that one. Now, a lot of players aren't having any problems getting through the Bone Keeps, but there are a ton of players that are just getting wiped out. So, if you're going to play Bone Keep, you're going to want to make sure that you've got the prestige or the gold to be able to get a res, just to be safe. We've also got on the schedule Day of the Demon, which is this year's special. And Day of the Demon is the 4EX special, which is the one that can only be run by venture captains, venture lieutenants, and 4-star or higher Pathfinder game masters. And then in addition to that, Saturday night, we've got the large multiplayer Pathfinder Society special, Siege of the Diamond City, which is going to be a... We currently have 12 tables on the schedule. However, we're able to go as high as 18. We have enough game masters to run that many. We also have the game masters to run the higher level tables for the higher level characters. Those tables are called Seeker level tables. That's the level 10 and above characters. So if you're coming to that event and you're going to sign up on Warhorn, make sure that when you sign up on Warhorn for the Siege of Diamond City Saturday Night Special, that you put down your character class and level. That will help us make sure that you get to the right table and help us muster those very, very fast. If you have any questions about any of the stuff that's on the Pathfinder Society schedule, again, just go to that contact us page on the Scarab website and drop us a line, or if you've got one of my business cards, or if you've got my email address from the Paizo website, that's venturecaptain@scarab.com. Again, that's venturecaptain@scarab.com, and Scarab is all hyphenated. You can go to the Paizo website and get my contact information there. Feel free to contact myself or Matt Pikowski or any one of the other venture officers that is attending the event. We look forward to having you at Scarab. See you in January.
Tell me, who are you and what games are you bringing to Scarab?
Well, my name is Sean Torrance. I'm with the Grand Strand Gamers out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'm also the board game coordinator for Scarab. And I am going to be bringing some of my own games, of course, not my own games, not like I'm some sort of game designer, but I'm a game owner. And I'll be bringing a bunch of my games, in addition to the fact that I have worked with some other game judges from across the state, and we've put together a track, not just one, not two, but a whole 8 tracks of gaming for your enjoyment, covering a variety of different bases. We've got Euro games, we've got some party style games, we've got card games, light gaming, just some easy entry, low thought impact games. And we got some epic length stuff too. We got some stuff that goes more than 2 or 3 hours. We got schedules for upwards to 5 hour slots. We got co-op games. If you're interested in playing a game, but you don't want to play against other players, play with the players against the game. We got a whole slew of cooperative games that are going to be available for you. A zombie track. Zombies are always popular. We got a gentleman that's willing to run a whole bunch of different zombie games. And what else? Sci-fi. And I think that's all 8 of them. In addition to that, we're going to have a ton of open gaming, which is from a variety of different gaming libraries that'll be there. Gnome Con, Scarab, both of us will be having our giant libraries. There's a couple other people are going to be bringing their massive libraries as well. And that library, what does that mean? It's just like a library with books. Go over, check out a game, take it to your table, check it out, play it, bring it back, get a new game. So wow. There's going to be a ton of different ways to play games there. Organized seating, we're going to have these tracks together. I added it up and it ended up being 250 seats of organized play through tabletop gaming, open gaming, hundreds more, plenty of different opportunities scheduled throughout the entire 4-day event. We're going to have a Loop and Louie tournament. Loop and Louie is a game in which there is a spindle in the center of the table, and 4 player sections that come out from that, sort of a north, south, east, west. In the game, Louie is in a little red biplane, and he's flying around on this spindle that's motorized, and he goes counterclockwise around the table. And as he comes across your player station is representing a farm, and there's little chickens in your farm, and Louie likes to scare your chickens away. And mechanically, what will happen is if the plane goes by, it hits a little token, and that token will get knocked out of your farm. But to prevent that from happening, right before your farm is a little plunger, and you can smack that plunger and make Louie go flying up in the air, still in a circle, but he'll come down on a kind of universal joint and pivot back down and dive bomb somebody else's farm. And the object of the game is to be the last one that still has chickens and eliminate all the other players. And we ran that last year as a tournament setting, and we had about 22 or 24 people and ended up with our grand champion, David Callahan from Charleston. Hopefully he'll be back this year to defend his title. And we had a ton of fun with that. Any age group. It's actually a game designed for 4-year-olds. But I've gone to conventions, brought that out, and we've had booth babes going over there and playing that thing. We've had grandmas coming over and playing that thing. I haven't had a celebrity yet, but I'm waiting to get a celebrity playing that game. Super, super fun. We've got that scheduled for Saturday afternoon, right when we knew there'd be a bunch of families there. The biggest Saturdays tend to be our biggest day, and Saturday afternoon, of course, tons of cool family-type activities will be available. I've also scheduled it so that in the mornings, the gaming is a little bit easier, to comprehend. It's easier to set up. It's some of the lighter gaming in the mornings at the 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock slot, so that you're just waking up. You haven't gotten enough coffee, or in my case, Mountain Dew, and you're still trying to wake up. And those mornings are then scheduled for some of the lighter fare. As the day wears merrily forward, we start to get into the medium weight and heavyweight games. And by weight, I mean the complexity level and how much thinking you have to do in some of those games. And then we end every night with a couple different party games. We're going to have Smarty Party, Bezer Wizard, which is a trivia game, sort of like team trivia that you have at the bars, where you can need to know categories and you can steal categories from each other. Really, really fun trivia game. We're going to have Telestrations, and another favorite one, which is Cards Against Humanity. It's sort of like Apples to Apples, brought to you by Quentin Tarantino or something like that. it's a dirty, dirty game, though, and a lot of fun, a lot of laughs.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say, no, it doesn't have to be. But
it doesn't have to be, but it really does, because the cards even say it. So
yeah.
We've got some longer games that we're going to be scheduling.
Those epic games you were
Yeah, we get epic length epics. Games. We got an X-Wing tournament. X-Wing's kind of weird because it runs a line between board game, or is it a mini game? And I always think it's got to be a board game, because I play it. Not obviously, it's not a mini game. We'll leave that to Steve Holly and his crew. But we did schedule that with the mini game folks in mind. A lot of the local players in Columbia are both X-Wing players and Warhammer players, so we tried to schedule it during a non-Warhammer time tournament. We've got an X-Wing Mega Battle. It's kind of like a free-for-all. It's Friday night at 8 o'clock. We're also going to have an X-Wing tournament Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and that'll be a one-on-one, 1v1 type of tournament setting. Do you remember the first day at Scarab last year? There was a massive D&D set that was there.
I sure do.
Tell me what your thoughts on that were.
Well, my first thought was, wow, that's impressive. My second thought was, I really want to play that.
Yep. Robin Dial, who set that up, he had bought multiple sets of Dwarven Forge, which is a...
it's an amazing scenery for...
Yeah. It's scale dungeons. Scale to the standard Dungeons and Dragons type figures of 28 millimeter figures. These are full stone walls in three dimensions. The only thing that's missing is the roof of the dungeon, but he makes this massive dungeon that takes up probably four gaming tables altogether. You couldn't even reach across it at its width. It's just giant. And he sets up and plays usually, I think it's groups of five, and he runs them through that. That'll be on Saturday at 2 and Saturday at 8 currently. He's going to run two of those back-to-back, and it's big enough, really. He told me if he can get another GM, he may be able to run two different groups coming in it from different corners.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah, 10 people in that is like a free-for-all. In fact, he could even do like a dungeon bowl and have them fighting each other if they can get close enough to each other.
What system is he using for that?
He's going to be using system? Pathfinder. It's kind of a sleek Pathfinder. It's all okay. Pre-con. It's not bring your own characters. He's going to have some pre-generated characters for you to use. But you have a little bit of flexibility. I played in it last year because I heard about it, and when I saw it on the schedule last year, I immediately jumped on it. So I have achievement unlocked on that one, and I'm going to let some other people give that a shot. Sure. But we've got a whole bunch of different things available for you. Pathfinder, the Pathfinder Adventure Card Game. Now, this isn't Pathfinder Society. Instead, this is a card game, a deck-building game based on the Pathfinder experience, the Pathfinder role-playing game.
Well, now, because I play Pathfinder, and mm-hmm. one of the joys of that is being able to advance your character. Is this card game going to let me do that as well, like that?
It sure does, actually. That's what's neat about this, and I think what sets it apart from some of the other collectible card games is you'll make a deck. It's a preset set of cards. When you buy the box, you get always the same set of cards. You don't have to chase them like you do in some of the collectible card games. But when you build your character... if you're playing, for example, the Paladin, you're allowed to pick three armor and two weapons and some blessings and maybe a couple items and an ally or something like that. And there's some pre-constructed decks, you know, they say, we recommend if you've never played before, pick these specific cards out. And you start with a deck of 15 cards. And as you play the game, you'll encounter boons, which are the good things, and banes, which are the bad things. Those are the monsters and the traps and things like that. You'll have to overcome the banes with the cards you have in your hand. And you'll have to try to find the boons when you encounter them. Were you able to learn that spell? Were you able to unlock that chest and get the goods out of it? Or were you able to find that hidden weapon that was tucked up underneath? It's very abstracted, of course. There's no actual dungeon that you go through. But it is a cooperative game. You're working with the party, just like you do in a Pathfinder game. And at the end of it, if you've encountered whatever you have found, you can retool your deck and rebuild it so the next time you go in, you now have access to stuff that you didn't have before. And every time you play it, it's going to be different because it's a random pool of cards that these are pulled from. It's a set pool of cards, but it's only some of them are used every time. So you may not always find the sling. You may not always find the half plate or the plus one longsword, flaming plus one longsword. I've played it probably 20 times, and every time I play it, it's a totally different experience. There are 11 different character types, all the archetypes from Pathfinder, from the monk to the paladin to the cleric, wizard, sorcerer, all of them rogues, all of them are represented in there, and they do play differently. They have a different feel to them. We love that one so much. I've actually got that one scheduled three different times this convention. Wow. We've got it on Friday, we've got it on Saturday, and just for those people that want to stick it out, we got one on Monday too. Now that's just the scheduled ones. Again, right. Open gaming. It's probably going to be going on all the time, and we, during the scheduled games, we'll teach you how to write your character down, and if you leave and don't get a chance to play it again for 6 months or something like that, sit back down, you'll have those 15 cards that are in your deck, the 15 you chose to keep, and you can pick right up free where you were, just like a Pathfinder Society game.
That sounds pretty cool. So yeah. We have all sorts of flavors of Pathfinder at Scarab this year.
Yeah.
It's almost going to be like you're not going to be able to walk into any room and not see some sort of Pathfinder related something going on.
It's almost like I think we have found the path at this point. We probably don't need to continue to try to find the path, but we will be finding paths in every room. There will be a path somewhere.
Yeah.
We've got the co-op games are some of my favorites, where you're actually working with a group to try and defeat the game itself. Right. One of my favorites that I'll be bringing is Police Precinct, where we all play cops. Cool. And we're trying to solve a murder, but at the same time, we have to fight down the crime that's happening in the city. So we're working together to get all the clues that we need to find the murderer of this murder, find the murder weapon and the motives and what the victim was. But at the same time, there's street gangs and car accidents and domestic disputes that we have to solve. And if we let any of them get too out of hand, the crime takes over the city and the city falls into ruins. And just to make it more fun, there could be this game has what's called a traitor element. There could be a dirty cop as well working against us that is dealt, your loyalty is dealt to you secretly at the beginning of the game. And it teaches you right there how to play against the players. And if you can succeed in doing that, can kind of be the overlord, the kingpin of crime, and working from within the system to try to win the game. And you alone will then be the winner. Co-op games, traitor element games, really, you name it. We're going to have a ton of it there. If you want to bring your own games, bring them. We'll find some players for you. Heck, I might even sit down and try to play a game or two if I've got the time to do that. We scheduled it so that most of the regular games are set in 2-hour blocks, and in between those 2-hour blocks is a 1-hour free time. So those are some times to kind of degas, go get some lunch, grab a restroom break or something like that, and get back to playing again.
Yeah.
So tons of different tracks for you, different activities for different folks and likes. And if you want more, let us know. We've still got a couple months. We can put some things on the schedule. It's always easier. I tell people it's always easier for us to schedule a game that is wanted than it is to bring a game that we think is wanted. Right. And then no one shows up, or we do it at the wrong time or something like that. There's hundreds and hundreds of games, and it's hard to pick out the gems out of that. But we think we've done a good job of doing just that. I've asked the people that are running these things to pick their favorite games. So you get people that really are passionate about the game that they're going to be playing. They really know the rules, and they're going to help you through it. They may be playing against you if there's not enough players, but any good game teacher is not going to wipe the floor with new players. I sure don't. I know most of these guys, and they're not going to do it either. Card games. Oh, that's another. Did I talk about the card game track? I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
I talked about the adventure card game, the Pathfinder one, but we're going to have a bunch of other types of card games there as well. I'm going to be running Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is a superhero game. Each player has a deck of cards in which they represent a superhero, and we're all working together against a villain that's played by the game. So there's kind of an AI, an artificial intelligence in the game that runs that supervillain, and we are all working together to try to defeat him before he defeats us. Thunderstone, one of the first deck building games. Dominion was the first. Then Arctic Scavengers came out shortly after that. And then Thunderstone. And Thunderstone is a dungeon crawl where you're putting a party of adventurers together and trying to defeat the big evil that's coming out of the dungeon. And Judge Ryan Conway is going to be running an epic version of that where it's a whole bunch of sets all mixed together. And it's a really, really fun way to play that. So look for a whole bunch of that. And we are working on getting some Magic the Gathering as well. We're going to have some tournament play for that, organized tournament play, DCI sanctioned events, and we are working diligently to bring Magic the Gathering to Scarab for the first time ever.
That is amazing.
Yes, more to come on that.
More to come on that.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Working on details, but we should have some pretty cool stuff for that very shortly.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for, just all of this information about this amazing, amazing board game track, which it almost seems like we should call it something to just board game track, because it's really board games and card games, and there's some...
Tabletop games.
Yes, the tabletop game track. thank you, Sean, for giving me all of this great information about this. Sounds like it's going to be really hard to just schedule time to play everything that I want to play at Scarab this year.
I think there's going to be decisions that are going to have to be made this year. People are going to have to pick what they want to play. And again, if you want to see a game, please, please, please let us know. We'll do our best to get that on the schedule as well. And if not, we'll make sure that it is there and that it'll be available for you to play.
Yep. Still plenty of time to contact us about that.
Yep. Hit us up on Facebook. That's our primary method of communication. You can also go to our website at Scarab.
Yeah, it's www.scarab.com.
Yep.
Scarab, there's hyphens in between each of the letter.
So every time you say S, then do a dash, and then right. C, and then do a dash. Right. Because what does Scarab stand for, John?
Well, it kind of depends on who you ask. I think currently it stands for South Carolina Anime Role Playing and Board Gaming.
Yeah. So all of that stuff is going to be there, and we want to see you every day at Scarab. Check us out. Come game with us. We'll teach you the games that you don't know, and we'll play the ones you do know.
I want to give a thanks to the GMs and event coordinators who gave me all that information. So now we know some of the games that are going to be at Scarab and some of the events that are going to be at Scarab. Of course, if you want to see everything that's going to be at Scarab, you'll definitely want to check out Warhorn. It's warhorn.net/events/Scarab. If you're a GM or an event coordinator and you want to do what these guys have done and have an audio recording of your event or game, just email me at johnmanus.com. johnmanes@scarab.com, or hit me up on Facebook, or hit up Scarab on Facebook, or leave a comment at the end of this podcast.